us in our lives, and we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Please do sit. We come today to the final sermon in our series from Proverbs, looking at the last verses of chapter 31, entitled A Wife of Noble Character. I spotted a headline on the internet during last week. It read, "Mum labels school sexist for casting her daughter as innkeeper's wife in Nativity." This mum was shocked that in our day and age, her daughter should be identified as someone's wife. We may have various reactions to what she wrote, as were the responses posted in reply. But it reminded me how much more aware we are today of gender equality. In the past, I've certainly heard husbands talk about their work and what they do for a living. And the wife, when asked about herself, says, "Oh, just a housewife and mum." The implication that what she did was less important than her husband. But of course, not true. What she was doing was of vital importance. That said, I wonder what went through your mind when you heard Jill read that passage from Proverbs 31. Our thoughts may be different depending on whether we are a man or a woman. If a wife, either inspired or daunted by this remarkable woman's portrayal, if a husband thinking how your wife may measure up to it, you may be single and wonder what on earth has this got to do with you. But I hope I can show this passage has something to say to actually all of us, because we need to read it in the light of the whole of the book of Proverbs. We need to remember Proverbs was written in a very patriarchal society. It is a father and sometimes mother giving wise advice to their son. But I want to read again how Proverbs begins. Chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to those young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Recognizing our need for God and seeking his will and purpose for our lives. It's expressed in a different way at the beginning of chapter 9, with the invitation of Lady Wisdom to walk in the way of insight. And then we get chapters 10 to 30. And these have all kinds of wise saying in them, which cover a whole range and of aspects of our lives, like our speech and use of the tongue, which Anthony spoke about last week. But there are proverbs about the dangers of anger and arguments, about relationships, wealth and poverty, work and laziness, the proud and the humble, to name but a few. And we get then to chapter 31, and it seems like the writer thinks to put all these ideas together, I'll write a poem to show what wisdom looks like in action. And who better to embody it than a wife? So verses 10 to 31 of Proverbs 31 are a poem. But what we can't see in our English translation is that it's an acrostic poem, taking the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So the first verse begins with the Hebrew equivalent of A, the second B, and so on. And you might like to know there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet should it ever come up in a quiz. This poem is about what wisdom looks like in practice. It's not a tick list for husbands to measure their wife against. Also, wives should not read it and feel you are in any way failing, for not everything written will be applicable. You have to remember, it's a poem. For example, not many here this morning, I suspect, have servants. You'll see also, there's nothing in the poem about intimacy, though there's nothing wrong with that when expressed appropriately, as we read in Proverbs chapter 5. But to know more about that, we can read the Song of Songs, which is a celebration of love. I began my sermon speaking about stereotyping that can play today between the sexes, but thankfully now is broken down. But Proverbs knows nothing of that, and it looks very contemporary, for the poem reflects a mutual trust and respect between husband and wife. For our identity and status are not located in our husband, but she gets on with life, looking after home and family, but also has other work and business commitments. So how does this wife show us what wisdom looks like in practice? Verse 11, she's trustworthy. Verse 12, is caring and supportive. Verse 13 and 14, is skillful and industrious. Verse 15, is hardworking and dedicated. Verses 16 to 19, is prudent and acts wisely, is kind, compassionate, but not selfish, for she shares with the poor and needy, as is seen in verse 20. Verses 21 and 22, she's practical and thinks ahead. Verse 23, her attitudes and actions bring blessing to others. It's verse 25, she trusts in God and finds strength in him. She speaks with wisdom and seeks to build others up. She takes her family responsibilities seriously. The character she reveals and her integrity in running the home bring praise from our husband. Let me ask the men this morning, how good are we at praising the women around us, whether it be our wives, our mothers, sisters, or female friends? There is the reminder too that it's not the outward appearance that matters, but the heart that's right with God and reverences him. And so she is praised. Verse 30 reads, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now you may be thinking, if this woman fears the Lord, why is there no mention of prayer or meditation on the scriptures or attending church? Well, for the very simple reason, putting wisdom into practice is for the whole of life, not just for Sunday, but Monday to Saturday. In the everyday dealings with those you live with, your daily activities, work and business dealings, in your care for those you love, and in caring for the poor and needy. The woman of Proverbs 31 epitomizes all Proverbs has wanted to tell us from the beginning about prudence and discernment and justice and fairness, which were headlined at the start, as you heard, of chapter 1. Proverbs 31 gives us a snapshot of what wisdom looks like in action. The New Testament Bible reading we heard from the end of Luke 2, where Luke tells us after the boy Jesus was found by his parents in the temple, he returned home and grew in wisdom and stature, in favour with God and man. And we know from reading the Gospels how in his ministry he expressed that wisdom in his words and actions. Being in a right relationship with God, respecting and loving him and seeking his will, is the wise place to begin. And like Jesus, we can grow in wisdom as we allow the Holy Spirit to mould and shape us. And of course, if we ever in a situation we feel we lack wisdom, James in his letter reminds us we only have to ask. So as we come to the end of this series on Proverbs, may we seek in all the events, circumstances, and encounters of our daily lives to put wisdom into practice through our words and through our actions, and to never forget where it all begins. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And let's too be thankful for this wife of noble character who models for us what wisdom in action looks like. And so I invite you as I close, just as you sit, to shut your eyes and to think about what you will be doing in the coming week. Have you a difficult meeting to attend or conversation to have? Perhaps it'll just be a routine, ordinary week. Whatever it may be, ask God to give you wisdom in how you speak and act. And now we stand again to sing, and it's a hymn of commitment. And during the hymn, we take up our collection. It's number 714. Lord of all power,